You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and pretty much anywhere else you can get your podcasts. You can also look for us on the MisfitFactionNetwork.com, where you can also find our other sister podcasts, the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts. I am Sean, and I am not in the studio with the other host. He is Paul. Paul, how are you today?
Hi, Sean. I'm good. Thank you for asking. It only took us 42 minutes to get this recording started.
That is a gross over-exaggeration. It only took us 41 minutes.
41 minutes. Oh, my God. Yeah, so sorry, dude. That's my bad. That is my bad.
Sorry. Learn to tell time, man. Just saying.
But so I'm 35. I'm happy to be here to answer your original question. And we do apologize because I know it's been a minute. Unfortunately, scheduling and technical issues and this and that. We redid the entire studio here, too. It's still a work in progress. And it's just been Stoner Month turned really short.
Yeah. I think it's just it's the world saying just you got to talk about the Star Wars trilogy coming up, and I'm really not looking forward to it.
Oh, come on. It's going to be so bad. I'm really excited.
It's going to be so bad. It's great.
No, I mean, it's going to be Angry Paul time. You guys, you love Angry Paul.
I do love Angry Paul. I do. That is a treat.
Ray Palpatine. What the hell is Ray Palpatine? What the hell?
Oh God. I've only really run into Angry Paul in terms of movies a couple times, and those were one. The new Fast and the Furious was one. It was
Oh my God, it was so bad.
It was so wonderful. But all right, folks. So obviously Stoner Month, we are in the almost done with it. We've only done one episode, so we apologize for that. But what we're gonna talk about today, we are gonna dive into the trilogy that is Harold and Kumar. So where do Harold and Kumar go? They go to White Castle, they go to Guantanamo Bay, and they celebrate Christmas.
Celebrate Christmas. What a friggin' weird trilogy this film franchise turned into.
Oh, absolutely. I remember, we were still in high school when this first movie came out.
Oh, we were the perfect age for it.
And do you remember the trailers? Like, they didn't even know what they had going with this trailer. They were promoting it as I want to say the Asian kid from American Pie and the Indian kid from
Van Wilder.
Van Wilder are going to be in a movie together. And we're just like, huh? The Stiflers, the MILF dude, and, you know, Raj are going to be in a movie?
All right. Well, first, it's going to be Taj, yeah. But I have to say, John Cho and the other guy have the best moment in American Reunion. MILF. It's like the dude argument in basketball. Dude. All right, I see your point there.
And it actually is quite hysterical how you take John Cho from the American Pie movies where he's like just
normal guy.
This like normal guy, but you put him in this movie and it's just total opposite of the character you would think he would play after seeing him in the American Pie movies. And then same thing for Cal Penn. He's playing this nerdy character in the Van Wilder, and he's the total opposite in these movies. So,
and
brilliant casting.
I hate stereotype, but I really thought that he had that accent in real life.
So did I. So who didn't?
At the time, yeah, like because they did that. He did that movie, and then he did the sequel, which is kind of watchable if you're.
It's kind of watchable. But he sheds the accent in the sequel. He's pretty much talks the way he does. He has a little bit of the accent left, but nowhere near as much as he does in the original Van Wilder.
Speaking of people who lose accents over the course of a certain amount of time, before we jump into Harold and Kumar, we watched the Power Rangers Once a Ranger special, and somehow I keep pointing it out to anybody who will ask: the Pink Ranger lost her Australian accent.
Really? I still heard it.
It wasn't as small.
Yeah, it wasn't expansive as it was in the show, but
you want to talk about it?
I don't know where she lives in all the time. She might have stayed in America and just over the last 30 years she's you know, lost the accent. I don't know, but oh my God. I mean,
let's talk about it.
Yeah. Just, we're going to talk about this real quick. So we've been, you know, talking about this 30th anniversary reunion special for Power Rangers for the last couple of months. It was a Netflix special. It was made by the original Blue and Black Ranger, David Yost and
Walter
Jones were really kind of, you know, the linchpins in making this. And I don't know. Obviously, we lost Jason David Frank a couple months ago, and we lost Ty Trang
years ago,
20 years ago. But they got Steve Cardenas back as Rocky. They got Catherine Sullivan back as Kat. You had cameos by Adam and Aisha, but that was it. And, you know, they actually name drop all the characters like Jason and Tommy and Kimberly, but
technically they're in it.
They're in it, but they're not in it. It was just.
What did you think about the script, Sean?
Oh God, the script was horrible.
It made no sense.
It made no sense. The Rita was like it kind of like erased everything that happened in the original series. I mean, where's Lord Zedd?
So you know, in the original series, they got turned to human, Rita and Zedd, and they've done some expansion on that in preceding years. But I think my real issue was if they had just done it where Billy was like, "Hey, I'm just trying to bring Zordon back as like a normal dude. Like I'm just Billy." Right. And then it's like, "Oh no, Reed is back. Oh man, we got to get a team together."
Yeah, the fact that he created Rita.
It's not even that. It's the fact that they were all still active Power Rangers even though it's been established that they were not active Power Rangers anymore. Including Tommy as the Green Ranger. I'm doing a lot of quote fingers.
Yeah, you are. And I was actually kind of shocked they went back to the Green Ranger. I was like, so the White Ranger never existed? Because the whole point was the Green Ranger lost his powers.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to be the Green Ranger anymore.
And also Jason and Trini and Zach had all left and were replaced by people like Adam, Aisha, and Rocky.
Rocky.
But then they were unreplaced and given back their original. It's stupid. It's bad.
It was not what you want.
It's lazy writing.
I will say this, it was done, it had a good heart, and it meant well, but it was just not executed properly at all.
There were a couple of times, though, that like I found myself laughing at the jokes. Like, some of them were really funny.
Yeah.
And then also
Bulk and Skull. You couldn't even get Bulk and Skull in it.
There's a picture of them. And then obviously I love the darkness. There's a little bit of darkness to it. It's like death and dying.
Trini. I mean, you know, it's the first time a ranger dies. Like legitimately Rita actually tries to kill them, mm-hmm. like and means to kill them.
What did you think of the CG of the Pegasaur?
Oh my God, the CG was it was embarrassing, the CG. It was worse than the CG of the original show, and the show was in, you know, 92.
Who'd win in a fight, the CG of this Netflix special or the CG of the movie?
Oh, CG of the movie.
So much better. It's weird how much better it is.
So much better. You can't even compare the two. The movie is, yes, the movie doesn't hold up, I will agree, but comparatively just... The budgets were so amazingly in the movie that it just looks so much better. But it was nice seeing Zach back. It was nice seeing Rocky back because Rocky got the shaft when, you know, freaking whatever that kid's name was.
Justin.
What was the kid? Justin replaced him in Turbo.
God.
So that was nice to see. But again, it made no sense.
Again, if they had just had it like, Billy's a civilian. He's trying to still get Zordon back. I have no problem with Rita or even Zedd coming back, and he's like, I got to get a team of Rangers together.
And it was also a random choice for the monsters, the Minotaur and the Slizzard.
Yeah.
Snizzard. I was just like, they were much more iconic. You know, get the pig back. I think that was more of an iconic villain character than that.
Oh, Pudgy Pig?
Pudgy Pig, Goldar. Pudgy Pig. You didn't have a Goldar, you know, thing. So.
Or that Griffin thing that Jason kicked its ass.
It was, you know, sadly, it was just very underwhelming. And it's not something I'll need to ever watch again. You know, saw it, great. If they do another one,
they're going
to
do another one. I'll watch it. They'll probably do another one.
Probably. I mean, I'll be interested to see. I don't know if they've released it yet, how well it did in terms of viewers.
Well, apparently it is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, there you go.
Because there's only 11 reviews for it. Would you give it a Star City rating? Do you have a Star City rating for it?
2.5.
I'm going to go with that too. It's powered purely by nostalgia at this point.
that's pretty much the only reason I would ever watch it again, is just for the nostalgia value. And the nostalgia value wasn't even that amazing.
It didn't really stand out.
Sadly, yes. I'm just checking. I don't think we have much news in the works. I know, of course, I always look and then I forget when we start recording.
Mm-hmm.
So bear with me a second here.
It's fine. I'll just wait. You know, I'm just sitting here.
You know, I know you're just sitting there, so it's not like you can do much anyway.
I could be doing so much right now, and you're just, you know.
So I went to see Renfield.
Oh, how was it?
A couple days ago. It was exactly what I thought it was. It was just over-the-top gore and Nicolas Cage being Nicolas Cage. I actually enjoyed it very much.
I heard that it has trouble finding what kind of movie it wants to be.
Oh yeah, it's
like
it's gore,
two,
it's
almost like
gore.
two films meshed together.
Yeah, and then it has like a, you know, superhero, like over the top, like shoot 'em up violence, you know, kind of thing.
That's a movie we got to talk about at some point. Shoot 'em up.
Oh, that is very true. I love that movie. But yeah, no, that's about it. Nothing really major. All right, so let's dive into the Harold and Kumar trilogy, starting with I think the best one. And that is Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
I think we're going to establish very early on that you and I are both 1, 3, 2 in the order.
Yeah. 2 is, I don't think I've sat and watched 2 all the way through probably since we saw it in theaters.
So I'm going to talk
funny,
about
it. Yeah, don't get me wrong. And we'll talk about it, you know, after we talk about the first one. But Paula, you saw the first one in theaters because, like I said, I think we were still in high school when it got released.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think? What did you expect going in?
I expected just literally the poster says fast food high times. Like I was just expecting a basic stoner comedy. There's that whole teenage male fantasy of the one just crazy night, right?
Yes.
Where you do something exceptionally mundane, like go get food. I go get food every day. Sometimes 4 times a day I'm going to get food, right? But nothing crazy happens on the way.
Yeah.
This is like that adventure popping out of nowhere story. And it is surprisingly good. The first one still holds up. And I think that's the issue with the second one. The second one does not hold up.
No, the second one really just works on the whole insensitive jokes and all that stuff.
Well, I think the real issue is the first one is it doesn't rely on what's happening in the world at the time.
No.
And then the second one was exceptionally like time relevant. It was what was happening at that exact moment, and now the world is well past where 2 was, and like they relied on that, and that's why the third one I think is so funny, because they relied on what was hot at the time, but they made fun of it instead.
Yes.
So
they weren't utilizing it just because it was there. They were going like, wow, this is going to be gone probably within a year, let's do it and make fun of it for as much as we can.
Well, it's also because every movie was going through a 3D conversion at the time, and it was like stupid.
It was, because none of them really
added nothing,
utilizing the whole thing of 3D.
Yeah, with the exception of Avatar. Avatar is the only film that and Harold and Kumar 3, I will argue, they're the only films that I will argue that 3D is totally worth it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do agree with that. So, you know, as we talked about before we started recording, I will always remember the original trailer for this movie when it was being released. Was they were promoting it as the Asian kid from American Pie and the Indian kid from Van Wild. Mm-hmm. Like no one knew who these guys were yet. Like they were not names at all. It was, and then White Castle. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I knew White Castle from my parents, but you know, it's a famous fast food chain, obviously. But we don't have White Castles around us. Like, we did not grow up with White Castle. The closest White Castle to us was like in Jersey.
Ironically enough, right?
Yeah. So, which is of course where this movie takes place, mm-hmm. and I think there's like ones all over the place in Jersey. What I guess do you want to go into the plot a little, or it pretty much speaks for itself?
All right. So, really quick before we do this, these movies. What the first one came out in 2004. So we were just about to graduate high school.
Yeah.
As a disclaimer, some of these movies are very of their time. This movie's actually not too bad. They do a much better job actually kind of subverting all the racial and comedic stereotypes. They do a very good job. And obviously, Neil Patrick Harris, man.
This is the movie that gave us Neil Patrick Harris, the man we know and love today.
It became the Renaissance. And the fact that he, even though he's very briefly in the third movie, it's still the best scene of the entire movie.
Yes.
But for this one, like this movie caught me in the opening scene with you have Harold, who's just he's going through his work day, and people like his quote unquote bosses are taking advantage of him, and he's a yes man, and he's working in this like, you know, in a cubicle, which is my nightmare. He's trying to find a parking spot, but then the guys, the assholes in the truck steal it, and they're like they're the villains of this movie, which is even better.
Pretty much.
But they're posers who listen to Hold On To One More Day. But and then you have Kumar, who's in the middle of his medical interview, and that's where the movie switches, where it's like, oh man, like you can relate to Harold. That the beginning is more like a rom-com opening than anything else.
Well, yeah, because you see what he's going with. You see that he obviously is eyeing the girl next door, literally.
Oh my god, she's so hot, Paula Garcia's.
So yeah, it does open up like a teen comedy. Like, oh, okay, this is going to be the arc of the movie. He's going to be in love with her. How's he going to get her? It's going to be the two of them, you know, trying to hook the two of them up. How are we going to get this?
And it just, and then suddenly Kumar picks up the phone and he starts spewing vulgarity in the middle of it. Who's the interview? It's what's his face? Fred Willard is interviewing him.
Oh, that's right.
In the opening scene. And he's just like letting it ride. And it just said, I only came here because my father made me, because he'll keep paying for my apartment. I was dying. That's where that movie set its tone. It has said everything we needed to know about these two characters. And let's face it, it's not a big ensemble film. Like every other character is only very briefly in it.
You could honestly say besides Harold and Kumar, the girl and the two next door neighbors, everything else is basically a cameo.
Yeah. Even Neil Patrick Harris, he has like two full scenes.
Yeah.
And oh my God, they're still so perfect. So the basic story is very simple. Harold and Kumar get incredibly stoned and they see a commercial for White Castle. They get the munchies and they're like, we got to go do this. Now, we don't advocate getting stoned and driving, guys, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
You get the munchies, man. You get the munchies. It's
and
legal.
It started with the one of our favorite scenes of all time is when they walk 4 feet away from their door. And he's like, oh, I forgot my cell phone, because that would have solved every problem in 2004, guys. And they just look back and they're like, no, we've come too far.
We've obviously quoted that line.
Oh my god, we still do.
We're going out. We still do to this day.
There's another movie where it does a similar thing to that. What is it?
Dudes, Where's My Car?
Fun fact, we want to thank everyone for making Dude, Where's My Car one of our highest downloaded episodes so far.
Wow. That's awesome.
Oh
thank
my
you,
god. And even better, CinemaSins did their video of everything wrong with Dude, Where's My Car like 3 days later, and I was like, well, we did it better. Indeed.
There's nothing wrong with Dude, Where's My Car.
Oh my god, there's so much wrong with Dude, Where's My Car, but my problem with how CinemaSins did it was they addressed all the stereotypes and all the things that that were in the movie at the time, and I go, you hold them accountable, but you can't fault them. Everybody else was doing it. I don't condone it at all, but just unfortunately, at least in some regards, our society is moving forward.
Yeah.
But anyway,
depends on who you ask.
So the movie just kind of goes with them going on an adventure to go get White Castle, and
yeah, and you're like, oh, this is easy. They're just going to go to White Castle, and obviously, the first time they get there, it's turned into another restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And the notion to go through the drive-thru and go, hey, what happened to the White Castle? And then we get our first cameo, and it's Anthony Anderson, you know, who is at the time. I mean, we knew him from Me, Myself, and Irene, but yeah. I wouldn't say he was like a superstar like he is today from from Blackish and Law and Order, obviously. But he was known, and you know, he has a great scene where he's just like,
burn
it's
this
like, oh, you
want
to go over this way, do this. So I'm just gonna burn this place to the ground. Who wants to burn this place to the ground?
Yo, Pookie, we're gonna burn this mother to the ground. This movie has a lot of cameos. I was kind of surprised with the amount of cameos that this movie pulls out.
Oh, absolutely. And the best one, which, you know, is obviously going to be Chris Maloney.
I don't know. The Van Wilder. Ryan Reynolds cameo is still pretty funny.
That one is good. And that one, so a little later on, they're ending up in the hospital. It happens to be the same hospital that Kumar's dad and brother works at. And he gets pulled into surgery because they think he is the brother. And Ryan Reynolds just plays this
nurse.
I guess he's a doctor or a male nurse, and he's just overly affectionate to Kumar, thinking he is the
sexy.
The other brother. It was funny seeing the two of them together again. That was great.
Soft
that really
chocolate
was.
Lips.
What'd you say? Nothing.
Sweet cheeks.
Well done.
I would love to see them in it. But even better, it's like we need some marijuana. And even the patient like looks at him like, marijuana? But why?
Excuse me, sir. Do you know how to get to White Castle?
Yeah.
And he's got like bullet holes in him because this is Newark, New Jersey. Because, you know.
Now we're Newark of all places. Maybe it's not as bad as you think.
Hey, that looks like a lame version of us.
And they get their asses kicked. But let's talk about Bill Patrick really quick, just because otherwise we'll just start doing quotes. Because in all honesty, this movie does not have the most intricate plot.
No, but so this is 2004. Neil Patrick Harris. By this time, it's been a decade since Doogie Howser had ended. He had really kind of established himself as, I think he was a Broadway actor. He'd done a lot of stuff on stage. He's had a few TV shows that didn't go anywhere. But this is the movie that, this is the appearance that really put him back in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And just totally, I mean, created this persona that, you know, would obviously get him the role that we now know him to be. And that's Barney Stinson in How I Met Your Mother. Because it's just the total opposite of what we expect Neil Patrick Harris to be. He's this just over the top version of himself that is, you know, screwing any girl he could find, doing drugs off girls' backs while driving the car, which is a great scene.
Oh, so funny.
It really is. And that blew up having him cameo. That really did. And it created a whole second generational career for him. I mean,
oh, yeah.
He's still working off of it, you know. But he's immensely talented. He's a very good actor, and you know he does very good work. So you know it's good that he was able to get it.
Mm-hmm. I you know, and obviously having him in the film, it adds something. And the fact that he did do all three films, you could tell he has a lot of appreciation for this franchise because he does owe, like you said, the second coming of Neil Patrick Harris to this movie and to these movies. So like it's great that, because unfortunately Chris Maloney only comes back in the second one. He does not appear in the third one.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that he wasn't available, but because you clearly saw the role he would have played in that movie, but for some reason, I don't know why he wasn't able to do it, but yeah. Yeah, for the longest time, I didn't even know it was him in this movie.
Oh, like, yeah.
I thought that was Andy Dick for the longest time.
I could see that. Yeah.
It's. But oh my God. That. What's his name? What's the character's name in the first one?
Freak Show.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Let's see, some other, we have Ryan Reynolds, David Krumholtz as Goldstein, Eddie K. Thomas as Rosenberg, and Eddie K. Thomas from American Pie, ironically enough.
Yep.
Let's see, I'm trying to think of some other, like, you know, Chris Maloney, Malin Ackerman.
Yes, as Freak Show's wife.
Yeah, that was like
And that was before Heartbreak Kid. Yeah, so she was still fairly not that known.
And I always forget, Jamie Kennedy's in this.
Oh, yes!
Is this your Bush?
It's your Bush. What's wrong with this Bush?
You could tell that this was a 2004 movie when Jamie Kennedy's your cameo.
Yeah, that's, and I love Jamie Kennedy, but yeah, that's sad. That now that you say that, that really does paint a picture of when this movie came out.
Yeah, Ronnie and I are gonna do Mask and Son of the Mask.
Oh, good God! Have fun with that.
You're welcome. But you want to do a Star City?
Major cameos?
No, that's pretty much it. You want to do a Star City rating for this one and move on?
Star City rating, I'm going to go 3.5.
I'm going to go 4.
Good.
This movie, this is the one movie of the three that I could watch anytime. If this movie is on, I will throw it on.
Okay.
And ironically enough, there's not, like, it also started the one trope that only repeated in the second movie, and that's the fantasy of the giant weed. It's a shocking thing that they did not do that in the third movie as well.
Yeah. But I have a fun fact here. Apparently, it was also, as well as, I can't tell if it was supposed to be either the option or it was going to be an additional search for, but Krispy Kreme was such to be a thing that they would go after in the movie.
Interesting. I don't think it would have worked as well.
No, because I think White Castle made more sense.
And
going after burgers and fries.
I mean, we already
And I'm sorry. That ending scene when they finally get to White Castle and they're ordering like 50 sliders, like 10 fries and like 4 Cokes. I actually like get hungry watching it.
Oh my God.
Also,
yes.
Also, I'm like, I will be vomiting for a day if I had ever ate that much White Castle in my life.
Oh my God. I can't. It's
unbelievable.
But I will always say that movie, the first movie, is still the best of the entire trilogy. As much as I do love the third one, I can only watch during Christmas.
Yeah, true.
It's a Christmas movie.
It is very.
All right, let's talk about the second one, which ironically made more money and was still well received apparently by critics. I didn't think it was at the time.
I compare the sequel to Harold and Kumar 2, Awesome Powers Spy Shining.
I knew
Awesome Powers 1 is the better movie, in my opinion, but it made no money because there was no marketing for the movie. Rentals, you know, DVD rental sales balloon, and here comes the sequel. And obviously it's going to, you know, break records in terms of over the first one, but it's nowhere near as good of a movie as the first one was. But I remember when they released it and it was like Guantanamo Bay. I was like, oh, where are they going to, how are they doing this? How is this going to be?
How very 2008.
Oh man, this was, don't get me wrong, we were in tears laughing throughout all this movie, but a lot of these jokes we cannot say on the podcast because they're just so over the top and sensitive and not politically correct. It is crazy what they got away with in this movie.
So let's talk about some of the new characters and actors, and some of them will repeat themselves in the third movie. We have Danielle Harris, wife of Jensen Ackles.
She's Danielle Ackles.
Rob Corddry as Rod Fox, the most racist guy in the world.
Yeah.
But like, that's the point. We get it.
No, I know. It's
Paula Garcia does make more of a cameo in this one in the very last scene. Goldstein and Rosenberg come back. Chris Maloney is the Grand Wizard this time. Let's see.
So bad.
Not a whole lot of other ones. Ed Helms is an interpreter. That's hilarious. I totally forgot.
Yeah, because this was pre-Hangover.
Yeah, this is right before. Missy Pyle. I forget she's in this. They have the guy who played the George Bush impersonator, James Adomian. He was big at the time because obviously he was really good at what he did.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, not as many.
Not as many cameos, and obviously Neil Patrick Harris returned with the unicorn.
If you want to know the secret to being... That was like one of the posters, him on the unicorn. It was the best. Yeah. But so basically the story, again, very, very simple. The story is... But now it's got a little bit more layer to it, right? They want to go to Amsterdam because at the end of the movie, it's like, Harold and Kumar, go to Amsterdam. We're going to go get Maria because you just made out with her and it won't be creepy if you just show up on her vacation. Cool. Creepy. Don't do that. So I do love the scene where he gets flagged at the TSA. I'm calling you Matthew Perry, you Matthew Perry looking son of a bitch.
I will say this though, the opening scene though with him in the shower and then Kumar's just blowing up the toilet.
Yeah.
And he's just, what are you doing? It's like, dude, I just ate 40 burgers. What do you think?
It's the most accurate. The continuity is pretty good.
In the movie.
He put like Harold puts out a new band-aid over the cut from the previous movie. Like they actually did a surprisingly good job. But they get caught because Kumar tries to get high on the plane. And a lady sees it, and of course, she's already racially stereotyping him. And again, product of its times, especially this was pretty hot after everything that was going on in the world. And they end up in Guantanamo Bay. And they accidentally escape.
Accidentally, yes.
Because the guards were going to make them eat a sandwich that they didn't want to eat.
No.
So they managed to escape.
Bad meat.
They managed to escape, and it's them trying to get to Kumar's ex-girlfriend's new fiance, husband, or no, soon-to-be husband. And
yeah, he's like a political wannabe or something like that.
But he's got apparently some pull with the president, blah, blah, blah. And they want to use him to... He also helped Harold get his job, we find out.
Yes.
And like Harold's in love with him, wants to like actually marry him instead of... Vanessa. I will say one of my favorite scenes is the flashback to them in college. And then the last shot is just Harold as an emo, just in the background, just like skulking away. But yeah, so during the course of this, they go to Alabama and meet some very high-tech rednecks who have a Goonie son. Oh God, that was a funny scene. I'm sorry. They interrupt a Klan meeting.
Yeah, and that's with their Chris Maloney cameo.
And they get picked up by Neil Patrick Harris, who takes them to a Texas whorehouse. And he dies.
He does die. Actually, but he comes back to life.
My favorite though is when they're in the brothel and Harold is just talking to all of the prostitutes, like, so, and he knows them by name. It's like, thank you, Cinnamon. I appreciate that. And it's just it is the perfect encapsulation of Harold as a character. Like, yes, he would make fun of make friends with all these ladies and talk about his women troubles.
That's a big trope with most comedies. They always have the one character who is will just open his heart to
anyone,
to the prostitutes. Yes,
to the prostitutes specifically. Oh my god!
prostitutes. It's like in The Boys with Jay Baruchel. He's just like, you know.
I'm sorry, what? But anyway, so yes, unfortunately, Neil Patrick dies and they get captured. And it is one of our favorite musical nods with Highway to the Danger Zone playing. Do you remember the...
out of a plane with no parachute. Yeah.
Do you remember the... They did a cover of I Fought the Law, and it's just a lot of quick shots. And it's actually... The trailer's surprisingly good. It's like them basically getting chased.
Okay. I don't remember that. No.
You have to look that up. But yeah, so the movie ends with them befriending George Bush over weed. I will say that one of the funniest things is when like they landed there and they're talking to him and he's like... And you hear a voice in the background. It's like, George? Oh, shit, it's Cheney. That guy scares the crap out of me. They all run away to the man cave. That's actually surprisingly funny.
That's good. And then, of course, in the trailer, I do remember that they would have, they thought you guys were terrorizers?
Please tell me you didn't eat that sandwich. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much. And then, obviously, all Harold gets with Maria and Kumar gets back with Vanessa and they're all supposedly happy.
Well, happy, I dig. And then they end up in Amsterdam together and they have a nice little montage of them, you know, having a good time.
Yeah. All right. Well, Star City rating for this one?
3.
I'm with you on that one. The first one's still superior. So I'm going to go 4 for the first one, 3 for this one. That's fair.
Yes. I did 3.5 and then 3 for this one.
Okay. You want to take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We will be right back.
Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service. You're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction.
And we're back, and we are going to talk about a movie that is very close to Paul's heart. He really does love this movie.
It's one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time.
Which is saying something right there. And that is the 2011 A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas. And now, as we discussed earlier on, this movie took advantage of a fad that was going on at that time where the 3D craze was winding down, but for the previous 2 years, the 3D craze was every movie was coming out in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was actually filmed in 3D or not, it was coming out in 3D. So this movie actually was like, let's take advantage of this, but let's make fun of it and also utilize it to where, like, you know, basically what you would see in like an amusement park, you know, 3D show where, like, you know, people are launching things at the screen.
Like a Muppet 3D show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, they knew what they had here and they were going to have a good time with it. And it was interesting that they chose to do a Christmas movie.
It's going to be amazing.
Okay. Who are you pointing at?
It's still so good. But anyway.
So this movie takes place 7 years after the events of Guantanamo Bay, even though the movie's only like 3 years later.
And they're not friends anymore.
No, they're not friends anymore because Kumar can't stop, you know,
being Kumar. Can't stop being Kumar. And he's also broken up with Vanessa. But let's talk about Harold Lee marrying Maria. All right.
Marrying Maria and now has to deal with Danny Trejo.
Who is a great addition to this movie.
Did we know he was in it, or we were kind of...
No, we were totally surprised.
We were surprised, right? Yeah, because I remember the doorbell rings, and we're like, oh, who's this going to be? And we were like, probably going to be Danny Trejo, and it actually was. And we were like, yes!
Yeah.
And so, he's just Danny Trejo being Danny Trejo. I mean, he hasn't done much in a long time. I think the last thing I saw him in was Muppets Most Wanted, honestly.
Oh, yeah, probably. We also have a couple of other characters. We have, let's see, Elias Koteas as Sergei Kasnov. Casey Jones, and that was definitely supposed to be Chris Maloney.
I think that was the Chris Maloney character, probably. Yeah.
We have Harold's new best friend Todd, played by Thomas Lennon, who I find him very funny. Thomas Lennon.
I love Thomas Lennon. Reno 911 is just hysterical. Really is.
Patton Oswalt? I don't remember him in this as a mall Santa.
He's the mall Santa.
I don't remember that well. Yeah. Amir Blumenfeld is Adrian. I was super excited about this because that's Amir of Jake and Amir fame.
Oh my God, you were so obsessed with Jake and Amir.
I still love Jake and Amir. Oh, sheesh, y'all. Twas a dream. If any Jake and Amir fans are out there, please let us know. They have a podcast about their show, which is even funnier. But let's see. I'm trying to think. I will say that the Rosenberg and Goldstein cameo is my favorite. Where you
Wasn't
find
that in like
they go to White Castle.
Okay, that's right.
Yes. And you find out that Goldstein has converted to Christianity. And Rosenberg's like, your name is Seth Goldstein. And their son, because he married a Christian girl and they had a son named Christian.
God.
Let's see. Not a whole lot of other big cameos. RZA? Oh, that's fun. But yeah, those are the biggest. And oh, and Richard Reel, really? As Santa Claus.
Yeah, you'd recognize him. You'd see him in the
movie. He's one of those guys that's been around. But
good character actor.
I thoroughly love this movie. I cannot.
Well, this movie's very enjoyable. Don't get me wrong. It is not a bad movie. It's just, again, like you said, it's a Christmas movie. So it's like you can only ever watch it once a year, basically.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like the time jump. I think the time jump actually really works in its favor.
Oh, yeah, because it makes the split between the two of them, you know, more interesting.
Yeah, way more realistic.
Yeah, they haven't talked. And you find out that Vanessa is pregnant with Kumar's baby, and that's why she left, because he's not growing up. You know, he's not doing anything besides smoking weed.
Smoking weed.
So basically, the movie is basically Santa Claus trying to get Harold and Kumar back together.
And you only find that out at the end, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Like, you find out at the end the whole time that was really Santa just trying to get them to be friends again.
But I do like the beer pong game. That scene is fun.
And of course, the Neil Patrick Harris scene with his real life husband.
Oh, that is.
My God. I told you not to use so much tongue. You said to make it look realistic.
Yeah, that one was.
Put more money in my bank account. Like a Fred Savage.
Such a good sport. That was so great. It really was.
Obviously, the scene of him getting kicked out of heaven.
Yes.
Oh, who plays Jesus Christ? It's the guy from New Girl.
Oh, yeah, Jake Johnson.
Yes, that's another cameo. But, Daddy, it's Jesus. We got an 86 NPH. He's getting a hand job in my club. It just cuts over, and that's what he's doing. Oh, God, I can't. It was that whole scene. Jesus, what a cock block. Neil, and you know what? Say what you will about Neil Patrick Harris. He commits 1,000% to this version of himself.
Oh, absolutely. He no holds bar. He is just all in. And the fact that he got his husband to do it too is even better.
Well, they're all very good at making fun of themselves. Like, even Kumar makes a joke about him working for the White House in this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. This is after he started working for, well, no, he had
just stopped. Like, this was,
he had just stopped working for the Obama administration, because he left acting for a couple of years, and then now he's back into it. But this, yeah, I remember being when he announced that he was coming back to acting and they were going to do this movie. That was interesting.
Yeah, this was just a fun movie, and I know it was
fun. It was a definite. What do you call?
I don't know. What do you call?
I don't know. I'm thinking of a good word. It was a definitely safer movie than the second one.
Yeah,
they really didn't go too far in this one as they did in the second one.
It's like I said, in the second one, they attacked the topic of the time. And the problem with attacking the topic of the time is it does not age well to your film. It may create that shock response that people want to go see it because of this. But then you watch it 10 years later and you're like, it's not as good as I remember.
The jokes are still funny, but yeah, it just doesn't hold up as much.
This movie, they do a much better job with, hey, we're going to attack a trope that's happening right now and make fun of it. Because there still are the occasional 3D movies, but for the most part, yeah, like it's weird to even think that was such a big thing for so long.
It was, and what's sad about it is it was a big thing, but it wasn't a big thing that was any good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like the 3D of the 50s where that was a legitimate way to get people to come back to the movies because TV had just been created and, you know, people were staying home and not going out to the theaters. Well, how do we get people in the theaters? Well, we got to come up with some big idea to draw people back. What can you not see at home? 3D.
Hmm.
You know, but, you know, they tried to do that again, but it didn't work because they were just basically putting movies in 3D that just had no reason to be in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I agree with you. This movie was also a product of its time, but it holds up much more than Guantanamo Bay does. Absolutely.
Thanks for agreeing with me, Sean. That's what I needed to hear.
I always agree with you. What are you talking about?
What? You're such a liar.
I don't know about that. See, I didn't agree with you. Damn.
Stop. I don't like it.
All right. Star City rating for Harry Harold and Kumar Christmas?
3.5.
I agree. I got a 3.5 on that one.
Thanks for agreeing with me, Sean. That means a lot.
And I know it just makes you feel good.
Pretty much. You know what else makes me feel good, Sean?
What makes you feel good?
That we have 2 Fan Feedback Fridays.
We do. Wow. That's right.
Do you want me to do the first one?
You do the first one because I'm not prepared at all for that.
I could even do the second one. I'll just...
Oh, you could. Look at you.
So, April 14th. So sorry, guys. So, I put up a list of various different medias, you know, Dragon Ball Z's on there, Supernatural, Star Wars, etc. And the question was, you can only keep 3. And the choices were Avatar, The Last Airbender, Lord of the Rings, Marvel, Zelda, The Walking Dead, Gossip Girl, The Hunger Games, DC, Disney, The Hobbit, Dragon Ball Z, Supernatural, Star Wars, Percy Jackson, Harry Potter, Doctor Who, Friends, Game of Thrones, Sherlock, and Star Trek.
Just want to say one thing. I'm going to be a stickler, but Disney owns Star Wars and Marvel. So if you get rid of Disney, then you get rid of Star Wars and Marvel.
Man, this is the last episode that Sean's going to be allowed to participate in Fan Feedback Friday. But anyway, see, we have one for Supernatural, DC, and Marvel. We have Sherlock, Avatar, and Friends. What a combo, Brendan. One was for his wife. Friends. And Stupid Ronnie from the Multiverse Fancast. If you want to hear more from Stupid Ronnie on the Multiverse Fancast, look up the Multiverse Fancast with Stupid Ronnie. And you get Disney because you will get Marvel and Star Wars with it.
You see? Look at that.
And for more of Stupid Sean, you can keep listening to our show, DC and Supernatural. And then one last one, Harry Potter, Supernatural, and Friends. All right.
Yeah, I would be, I'd be Disney, Star Wars, and probably Harry Potter.
Probably.
I don't watch a lot of this stuff. Like,
I know. It's because you suck. All right, so now we have Fan Feedback Friday.
For... sucks, so I would be okay with them just disappearing.
Hey, cut it out. It was Superman's birthday this week. Show some respect.
I always show respect to Superman.
I thought you said DC.
No, DC sucks, but Superman's good.
Stupid. Anyway, and
well,
then
it's
this
not
week...
Superman's fault that DC can't get a good movie.
And this week for Fan Feedback Friday.
The greatest movie cameo ever. We got Matt Damon in Eurotrip. Bob Barker in Happy Gilmore, Mike Tyson in The Hangover, Keith Richards in Pirates of the Caribbean, Bill Murray in Zombieland, every cameo from Austin Powers, Goldmember, Cop Out, Sean, and X-Men First Class
That's
Wolverine.
You.
See, I really wish we had done this movie, these movies first, because these movies have some great cameos.
Yes.
But yeah, if you guys are looking to do Fan Feedback Friday, it's super easy. All you guys have to do is find our website, or actually, excuse me, our Facebook page, Cinematic Adventures. Every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll post Fan Feedback Friday. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows, as well as news, reviews, articles, and of course, our merch store. And last but certainly not least, we also have our social media accounts, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. Just type in The Misfit Faction or Cinematic Adventures, and odds are you'll find a little bit more of your favorite misfits.
Never tell me the odds.
I didn't.
I'm just saying, never tell me the odds.
They were positive odds.
Okay.
Stupid. God.
I just do this to annoy you. I'm sorry.
You're not even annoying me.
Odds are high on that.
I already stopped recording anyway.
Oh, really? Okay.
No. All right. End the show, Sean.
Oh, fine, Paul. Well, this has been fun. Do we know what we're talking about next week?
Probably Star Wars.
No, next week is still going to be April on Monday.
Yeah, but the next episode is going to come out in May. You didn't think about it, huh?
No.
May 1st is the following Monday.
See, it's the 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Damn it.
Haha, that's why we were talking about how Stoner Month was so short.
Fine, I guess we gotta talk about Force Awakens next episode.
So excited.
It's gonna be the best episode because it was the best one.
That's actually fair.
Alrighty, folks. Well, we are looking forward for you to listen to our Star Wars month coming up next. And this has been fun, Paul. As always, I'm one of your hosts. I'm Sean.
I'm Paul.
And we hope everybody out there had a safe Stoner month. Have a good one.
Bye.